The New Zealand Camp Meeting, Ellen G. White. Thursday morning, March 16th, we boarded the steamer Clansman at Whangaroa to return to Auckland, and from there to proceed to Napier, where the conference and camp meeting were to be held. We reached Auckland Friday morning. Here, our party of 8 from Kaio was joined by 10 from Auckland and vicinity, who were going to the conference. Sabbath afternoon, our boat cast anchor near Gisborne, and brothers Star, Edward, Wesley, and Samuel Hare, and W.C. White went ashore to visit the little church assembled for meeting. This church, like others in this conference, is asking for ministerial help.
Oh, that we had 100 laborers where there is one! Everywhere there are fields suffering for help.
When our brethren entered the church, they found the Sabbath school was in session, and they had opportunity briefly to present some of the many evidences that we are in a time when we should look up and rejoice because the coming of the Lord draweth near. About 8 o'clock, the little steamer came back. She was tossed about by the waves, and it often looked as if the water would go over the deck, where most of the passengers were seated. But she came safely alongside, and all were brought on board without the aid of the huge basket kept for rough seas. From Gisborne, it is a short run to Napier, and we woke Sunday morning, anchored close to the city. Here, an extensive breakwater is being constructed, but for some time yet, large ships must anchor in the bay, and all passengers and freight must be transferred to a smaller steamer, which carries us safely over the shallow waters to the pier. At the landing, we were met by Elders Israel, McCullough, and Wilson, and by Mrs. Dr. Caro, who took us at once to her hospitable home. Napier is a beautiful place, the resident portion of the town being built on a series of high hills overlooking the sea. Sunday evening, I spoke on The Love of God to an attentive audience in the Theatre Royal. Tuesday evening, Elder McCullough gave the first discourse in the large tent on the campground. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, our brethren were very busy fitting up the camp. Weeks before, letters had been sent to the churches asking all who would come to the meeting to report, and the responses were so few that it did not seem necessary to get many tents or to lay out a large camp. As the boats and trains brought in the delegations from the different churches, we found that there were about twice as many as had been expected, and it was plain that the plans must be enlarged. We felt that this first camp meeting must be, as far as possible, a sample of what every other camp meeting held in the future ought to be. As a people, we have lost much by neglecting order and method. Although it takes time and careful thought, and often seems to make our work cost more, yet in the end, we can see that it pays to do everything in the best manner. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be ye perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." The principles found in the instruction given to the children of Israel are to be given to all who are connected with religious service in these last days. All the specifications and arrangements of detail we cannot copy, but we are to give no lessons in connection with our worship that will lead minds to think that the God of heaven is pleased with disorderly arrangements, careless work, and untidy surroundings. God is as well pleased now with cleanliness and order as when He gave direction to the people encamped in the wilderness. Those who follow Jesus will set a right example in all things. The camp had to be enlarged. More tents were procured. A reception tent was fitted up, not extravagantly, but tastefully. The dining tent was well patronized. The food provided was plain, substantial, and plentiful, and it was prepared on hygienic principles. The weather was beautiful while the camp was in preparation, and during the first days of the meeting. On the first Sabbath, it commenced to rain, and for a week it was showery, with occasionally a heavy downpour. Notwithstanding, the people of the Napier Church came out well to the meetings, and those on the ground kept up good heart and courage and made but little complaint about their damp surroundings. All seemed to enjoy the early social meetings. One family, who were always present, came a mile and a half from their mountain residence. Many testified that this was the best meeting they had ever attended. Every day we were encouraged by seeing hope, courage, and faith growing in the hearts of the people.
After the meeting had been 2 or 3 days in progress, one who had been a member of the church but who left it about 2 years ago because of his opposition to the testimonies arose and said that he desired to take his stand again with the church. He wished to be baptized again and to be received as a brother by his former brethren and sisters. Many hearts rejoiced greatly that this brother was restored to the church. On the first Sabbath afternoon, I spoke about 30 minutes and then invited those to come forward for prayers who had never given their hearts to Christ. The invitation was also extended to those who professed to be followers of Christ who had not the evidence of his acceptance, and those who professed to believe the truth but had not carried out its holy principles in their lives. These were the very ones who most needed to seek the Lord. We rejoiced to see the response that was made to this call. Many seats had to be cleared and were quickly refilled by those coming forward. The tent was not a perfect place for such a meeting. The rain was falling heavily and the tent leaked in many places, but this seemed of little consequence. The interest in eternal matters was too deep to be affected by the surroundings. The Spirit of God was moving the hearts of the congregation to a consciousness that the time had come that is spoken of in the first chapter of Isaiah. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Many hearts were impressed that we are hastening to the judgment where every case will be decided for eternity. Elder Starr gave excellent instruction and exhortation, urging that each one should bring heart and mind to Jesus. Then, as we had a season of prayer, the blessing of God rested in rich measure upon the congregation. The meeting was continued till sundown. Many confessions were made of neglected duties, of impatience, and neglect of parental government. Many confessed their worldliness and love of dress, and some bore testimony who were giving their hearts to Christ for the first time. Sunday was a busy and joyful day at the camp. In the morning, Elder Starr continued the Bible studies, and in the afternoon, I spoke to a tent full of attentive listeners. In the evening, 6 were baptized. On Monday, the business meetings occupied most of the time. Elder McCullough preached in the evening, and in the course of his sermon spoke of the evil effects of the study of and placing dependence in the science of phrenology. He showed that its tendency is to lead men to undervalue the power of the grace of God and to place too high an estimate on their own judgment. In the early meeting on Tuesday, this matter was referred to again, and some who had been rescued from the snares of spiritualism related their experiences. We were surprised that so many had barely escaped the subtle delusions of spiritualism. Quite a number spoke of their interest in phrenology and their desire to know wherein its study was injurious. After breakfast, the regular program for the forenoon was suspended, and I pointed out some of the evil results from the study of science, falsely so called. A day or two later, someone brought to Elder Starr a pamphlet containing the sermon of an influential Wesleyan minister delivered at a recent conference held in Dunedin, in which he defended the higher criticism of the Bible and made light of the opinion that it is a divine book and that all portions of it are inspired. This led to more lessons on this subject and a sermon on the higher criticism that was well attended by the people of Napier. We were surprised to see the extent to which our own brethren had been affected by this infidelity. We see more and more clearly that, in all our labors, the Bible must be exalted, and that our people must come to know the wisdom and the power that are in the Word of God. To the close of the meeting, and in all our labors since, this subject has been made prominent. The camp meeting was to close Wednesday, April 5th, 2 weeks from the beginning of the workers' meeting, but the steamers on which the delegates were to return home were both late, so the meeting continued another day. The interest was good till the close of the meeting, and the people of Napier were disappointed that it did not continue longer. It was arranged that on the last Sunday of the meeting, I should speak in the afternoon, and Elder Starr in the evening, at Hastings, a prosperous town about 12 miles west of Napier. We had a most comfortable conveyance, and the ride was enjoyable. Near Hastings, we passed a Maori village, where preparations were being made for a national council. In one enclosure, there were a church and several wahes, large houses in which they entertain a number of guests, and long tents in which hundreds were to be served with food. And in other fields nearby were long rows of little tents for the occupancy of those coming from abroad. The Maoris seem to be an intelligent people, and true missionary work is much needed among some of their tribes. Where are the young men who will devote their lives to work among this people? A tent meeting has been recently held at Hastings, and there are a few obeying the truth, and others on the point of decision. Our meetings were held in a hall, and although the audience was not large, those present seemed much interested.